We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is Gresh and Keith.
The fact that Jason Tatum didn't make an All-NBA team, get out of here! Wow. I'll take the core of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown all day, every day. But I think that's a sexy job, man.
I know I'm sexy.
Andy Gresh.
I think tonight spoke for itself.
And it is gone, a three-run homer.
I'll definitely say it's starting to affect people.
It is back, it is gone.
You know, this is the game you're going to get.
Way back, grand slam, Arroyo!
Rich Keith.
I'm taking Cam right now. Take the experience over the actual, the rookie.
He had a little bit of a step back day. You know, rookie quarterbacks, it happens.
Gresh and Keith.
I have a crippling fear of snakes.
Boom, 12-footer.
It's snakes after this big.
On WEEI.
Final hour, no fear here. Your Boston Sports Radio Midday Show is here. Gresh and Kiefer with you on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com, and of course on the Odyssey app. Big props on the slow burn on the old text machine. That's where you can get a hold of us at 37937. By the way, coming up, all of the contributions you've made today via the Twitch chat, watching us at weei.com/watch, and of course via the text 37937, and on the old Twitter as well, at Gresh Keefe. So we know Major League Baseball is now under fire. They're under siege. Their own players are starting to come out and kvetch and moan and bitch and
cry.
Whether it's
Garrett instances. Cole just straight up cry.
For Pete's sake, he's got $324 million coming to him. He could suck the rest of his contract.
For Pete's sake,
wouldn't matter.
Guys, come on.
But he's upset. Garrett Richards is upset. Yeah. I mean,
Tyler Glasnow is blaming his injury on this.
That's right. So I was like tooling around on the web this morning, and I just typed into to Twitter Spider Tech just to see what popped up.
Ooh, what do you got?
And what came up was former big leaguer Brandon Webb, who is now a color analyst for the Arizona Diamondbacks on TV on the Bally Sports Network. By the way, very friendly with our friends at sportsbetrhodeisland.com. Mm-hmm. But Brandon Webb and the most boring, like, pregame host ever. I don't even know this guy's name.
Okay. Yeah.
They're in the middle. So we took the context of their conversation. Now, you're going to hear about, oh, you stuck your finger in it. So Brandon Webb had Spider Tech, the little tiny, it looks like a thing, like if for people who put like putty in their hair, gunk in their hair, like I do to kind of make it look nice for TV.
All right.
That's what it looks like. It looks like a little container, a little screw top thing.
Got it.
He stuck his finger in it, and the thing
stuck to his hand?
The whole time he is talking about Spider Tech.
So Spider Tech is like glue.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, as you're about to hear, this wasn't even the stickiest of the stuff that they sell.
Of the icky.
So here is Brandon Webb talking about why this matters so much to pitchers. Very enlightening.
This is unbelievable. Of trying to throw a baseball with this. And I don't know if, and this is the medium grade level. There's three levels.
Three, yeah.
This is incredible. There's no way that you could go out there and just decide to use this in one day.
Yeah.
This is extremely, extremely tacky stuff, and I can see why you could absolutely, you know, create massive amounts of RPMs on your breaking balls and fastballs.
But this is an art form, right? That's what you're saying. You can't just trot out there. You've got to work your way through this.
You're working with this in the off season. You're definitely working on it in spring training. This stuff would take a long time to get used to, months.
Can you imagine what it's like in these clubhouses right now with the conversations that are going on, not just from managers to pitchers, but within the pitching staffs themselves? It must be unbelievable.
Well, yeah. I mean, now, to me, you've been pitching with this for however long, and you're trying to go cold turkey and try to spin a curveball. It's going to be a huge change. The release point, mechanics, probably going to have to change just a little bit to get that ball where you want it.
So Brandon Webb admitted it could change your mechanics, adding a little bit to the Tyler Glasnow being like, yo, that's why my arm got wrecked, because I didn't have this stuff. Now, at first I was, okay, that's a pitcher defending a pitcher. And then when you go back and listen to it, and he said, you're not just going to grab a goop of this stuff and start throwing the ball with it. It provided a little context as to why for some of these pitchers, that clearly it's been going on for a while, and mentally it's probably a part of their game. And I wonder how many guys are thinking, this might completely screw my arm.
But it's one of those things, like, because it's baseball, let's just compare it to steroids for a minute. And if they were like, you're getting away with it, you know you're not supposed to be doing it, but you're getting away with it. And then all of a sudden they decide to crack down on it. Now what, you're going to cry and blame the league for cracking down on it? Or you kind of knew all along you weren't supposed to be doing that. So you're going to do it until they catch you, and then you're going to have to change. You're going to have to pivot to something else. And I also find it so hard to believe that these guys can't throw a baseball without this stuff. So, like, it's just such a foreign idea. Like, can't throw a curveball now. Like, you can't? Kids in Little League are throwing curveballs. You think they're putting stuff all over the ball?
Well, they know they can't throw the curveball as well as they did. And
then you're not as good as you thought you were.
But at what point does this go under unwritten baseball rule? Because it's very evident that for those who didn't know it, this stuff is being used all across Major League Baseball.
But the way that they're complaining about it is it's not just like a grip. It's like they think that it is completely altering the pitcher that they are. It sounds like a guy who's like a 2 ERA to like a 15 ERA because I can't even throw it the same way. This isn't just a little bit extra grip, I have a little bit more control. It's like, no, the spin rate's through the roof. Your curveball is just so much sharper. Like, all this stuff, like, these pitchers are just changing. They're getting better as they get older in some cases. So they're like, well, there's sort of a red flag here. But they're just basically telling you, we can't pitch like a real major leaguer unless we cheat. It's like, my God. Like, because, like, with some of the hitters that were cheating before, maybe it was like, all right, they hit the ball 400 feet, now it's 370 or whatever. I don't know. Like, it's just a little bit different.
Well,
like that.
What did the pitchers say to baseball? Okay, make whatever it would be, the stitches bigger. Like, then what if the pitchers all said, then, hey, baseball, do something to the ball that then helps us. That unfair? Because, like, to me, this feels like an unwritten rule that baseball, because think about it. How many times does an umpire touch the baseball every game?
Oh, all the time.
Do we think the umpires might have known? And don't we think the managers might have known as well, but didn't want to blow the whistle on anybody
else? But
don't
you think, like, the umpire throws the ball, they get the new ball in play, and then that's when the pitcher kind of doctors it? Well, it's not like he's touching the ball after. Like, and once the ball's fouled off, like, it's gone. And then you have to mess up the next one. And so it's the pitchers out there. Then that might even be what's slowing the game down, too, is like these guys to make sure they have the right grip on it, so they're constantly touching their hat, their arm, the ball, the glove, whatever they have the stuff on.
Because it is like being a golfer or a kicker. It's a part of their routine.
Yeah, you want
right?
your ball
There's a
to the right way, but it's like, it's just like, my God, it's like, it's hard for me to have a lot of sympathy for these guys, the way they're going about it.
Yeah, I look, Major League Baseball, again, if they could screw up, if there's a one car funeral, they're going to screw it up. Mm-hmm. That's just who they are. And it feels like it's 0 to 100. And by the way, we're just scratching the surface, right? Because this goes, the suspensions and the checks start to really go into effect on Monday. So we heard from Garrett Richards. We hear from Garrett Cole. We hear from Brandon Webb, again, who's a broadcaster. But don't you think we're about to get the real land rush of pitchers who are going to try to start to make their adjustments over the next couple days and be like, this sucks?
I also wonder if some of them just say, screw it. Is this just a threat? Is this like another threat?
Catch me if you can kind of thing?
Like, are you really going to come out here, or do you think that that is enough? Like, maybe some umpires are like, well, these guys know that they're facing a suspension, so they're probably not doing it. And unless you're blatant about it, guys are still going to try.
Is this the equivalent of pine tar for batters? Is really what might the simplest way to ask the question might be.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, how long does this go back? And it sounds like the spider tech seems like pretty new, right? Because the rosin has always been there. I know Garrett Richards, we don't need to play it. But
rosin,
we played it
and bullfrog.
He hated the rosin. He says it doesn't do anything. Well, it's been a part of the game for a long time, and it was put in place, I don't know when, but in order to keep everybody, you know, a little bit better grip on the baseball.
I'm just throwing in spider tech just to see when it was created. Hey, let's give away $1,000.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is RUN. Text RUN to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. Again, text the word RUN to 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. So apparently Spidey Tech, according to the old Google machine, was founded in 2015. I wonder if it's Spidey Tech. It says Material Innovation Initiative and all that stuff. I hope I'm not looking on the wrong thing. No. I think I might be. But because I type in Spider Tech and like two different things come up and I click on one. But you're right. It's the whole, when was this invented and was Spider Tech an offshoot of whatever else was being used before that Major League Baseball kind of tolerated and put up with.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, wouldn't that be something, right? If on Monday a pitcher just says, F it, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And let's see if they get me or let's see if they catch me. And then if they do, could that pitcher then turn around and just stand up in front of the media and grandstand and say, look, we've complained about this. They've done this, 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 and this for the hitters and nothing for us. And try to come across as at least a semi-sympathetic figure to people who maybe don't know the nitty-gritty of what goes on in baseball.
I think you will see that, or you might not even see it. You might just see guys that do it and get away with it and continue to pitch well, and they just are really good at hiding it. I also wouldn't be surprised if some of these guys, to prove a point, start plunking a couple of guys. But I didn't have control, right? Because you don't want
buzz somebody in
the head. So now all of a sudden you're getting all these, you know, retaliation things. You're getting bench clears, and Major League Baseball doesn't want a lot of those. And then the post game, the pitcher's like, "Hey, I wasn't trying to hit you, but I don't have the grip that I used to.
Sorry, I broke your nose."
That's what you kind of do. I think, and then you kind of put it on baseball a little bit more. And this offseason, that's going to have to be one of the topics, though. Like, what is legal? What isn't? Because clearly these guys are all babies and don't think without, you know, cheating in some way, they can't throw the baseball the same.
It feels like it, and we're going to get more. I know we'll have a ton more audio tomorrow, at least I think, on people complaining about this. Hey, I want to get back to the discussion that we were having a half hour ago where you very eloquently sort of skewered the good doctor, Glenn Rivers, and the 76ers, and you get into a guy like Ben Simmons, who I know initially you and I disagreed on in terms of the potential, and it's weird to have a 6'11 point guard, and he can't make free throws and all that. So could there be something to, it's great to have those players that are the unicorns, like Ben Simmons and Giannis Antetokounmpo,
right?
But in the postseason, do they not become an impediment towards winning, but like the pieces don't fit because they don't really have a position that they fit into? It's just a theory off the top of the head.
No, I understand what
you're
saying.
But when you think of like the 08 Celtics, we were talking about this on the off-air show, they all fit together, right?
Oh, yeah, perfectly.
Like a 6'11 point guard that I think most coaches would be like, I'd like to do something else with you, but you're jamming him into the point guard spot. And Giannis, where he really doesn't have that position per se.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if those guys are almost too,
I think it's more just their
unicornish.
Yeah. And I don't mind Ben Simmons being a point guard. Like, you can have a tall point guard. He's a great passer. I have zero problem with that. I just think in today's NBA, the ability to, the lack of any 3-point threat at all, or the, even a long two, the defense can just sag way off. Like, we saw it a lot early in Rondo's career.
That's right.
But they play Ben Simmons like that times 10, and they're just like daring him to shoot. And then once they get in the bonus, they just foul him. And that is just such.
Giannis, by the way, too quickly, they'll let him shoot threes because he's not a great 3-point shooter.
And that's the other thing. I think Giannis gets a lot in transition and all that kind of thing, and he's not a great shooter. And so when every possession matters more in the playoffs, it's somebody like Giannis, you know, late in the game, it didn't scare you. Where like the Brooklyn Nets, when they're healthy, have three guys that are absolute killers and can score at any point. I don't get the sense that Giannis, he'll finish the game with 30 points. But if you just give him the ball in a possession, is he going to score? Like, if he wants to score, I think they can stop him. I think they can slow it down.
Back off. Yep. Right? Take away the drive.
Right.
And what is that guy late in the game?
Imagine backing off on Kevin Durant.
No. He'd laugh.
You can get up in his face and he's still going to hit it. So that's
same
the thing.
Same thing for Tatum. And I know he's not at the Durant level yet, but it's the same skill set where those guys have the ability to skewer you in different ways.
And that's why I think those guys need sort of a different roster around them or a little bit more help. Because if you look at, let's say, even the last 10, 15 years, more often than not, the best player on a title team was Kobe, LeBron, Durant, Kawhi Leonard.
True Hall of Famers.
Like, pretty much. But not just that. They're just so dynamic. They can score whenever they want.
Complete players.
They're complete players. You know, LeBron, you know, he's not the best three-point shooter either, but you have to still defend him.
Yep.
You have to at least get out there. And if all those guys need to score late in the game, late in the shot clock, they can. They can do it. They can score down low. They can shoot threes at least varying degrees of levels. They can all shoot free throws, varying degrees of levels, but still better than Simmons. Like what Simmons did yesterday, missing 10 free throws in a game in which they were up by over 20 and they ended up losing by 3. It's just so glaring. Like, and then what do you do? Like, if you're Doc, do you just take him out of the game? Because he is an all-NBA defender, and he has had some good games where he's setting guys up and has, you know, double-digit assists and all that. But, yeah, there's just something about it. And then you throw in the Joel Embiid factor in it, too. It's like, it's almost like Simmons and Embiid need somebody else other than the other guy with them in order to really win.
What Simmons and Embiid are, to me, they're never going to be the number one star on a roster. So if you look at Simmons and Embiid...
You don't think Embiid is?
Well, Embiid is really good. However, I do worry a little bit about the injuries.
Yeah.
And he's not... Like, he's not Shaq. He's not so good individually that he can sort of impact the game. You're right.
Those two guys, and we might have seen the last of, like, the big man being the best player and completely dominating.
Well, let me ask you this. Put Tatum with those two.
Yeah, I think it's so much different.
Right.
I think if you had a real dynamic wing scorer to go along with those guys, then Embiid's even better. You know, it would be sort of like the old Shaq thing where, like, he could kind of dominate a game, but then when it comes down to crunch time, all right, somebody else do it.
Embiid needs a Kobe, not a Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons is able to take it.
And Simmons is like, really, it's like Giannis. Because
if Ben Simmons was in the league in the 80s, he would be such a better player. Because Magic Johnson didn't shoot threes. And you couldn't really, like, you didn't expose him for that. There was no hack of Shaq back then.
Do you think he would have gotten a chance to play point in the old days, though? Wouldn't it have been like, you're more of a stretch four.
Magic
was
6'9". I think he's a good enough passer that I think that he could still be good to handle.
But was Magic like a planet player, almost like a LeBron in that, well, you could do whatever you kind of wanted with him?
I mean, remember in college, like Jalen Rose in college was the Fab Five's point guard. He's 6'8".
Like, would you have moved Magic off the point because you had Ben Simmons?
Oh, well, no, he wouldn't play point instead of Simmons. But I'm saying if he was on another team, like if he was playing with the Celtics, like either before or after, you know, DJ and Ainge, don't you think he could bring it up the floor, get it to Bird and McHale? He could definitely
No, and look, Magic is, again, it's another one of those like rare planet players where you could throw him at center and he'd be able to survive and all
that. But if the guy is really good at handling the ball and passing, I don't really care how tall he is.
But does Russell Westbrook fit into this as well in terms of Russell Westbrook does a lot of things good to fill up the stat sheet, but when you look at him in terms of a playoff performer, I would almost want to lump him in with Giannis and Simmons just in terms of the ability to win and get to where you want to go because he does a lot of things. But to the point, back off, let him shoot threes. He doesn't have a great night.
But at least with Westbrook, I feel like more so than even Giannis or certainly Simmons, like he could at least take it to the basket. If he gets fouled, he'll go to the line. Like I feel like he'll hit a big shot more so than the other guys would. Still also flawed, clearly. He's made one trip to the finals when he wasn't, you know, he was the second player besides Durant. So he's a little bit flawed. But yeah, if you're the Sixers, like the conversations we have here about Tatum and Brown, they've been having that for 3 years now. Embiid and Simmons, can you win with these two guys as the two best players? And Embiid, I think, is clearly more valuable. And Simmons is just too much of a liability at times.
What it does, too, is it makes me pause because I'm very open to trading Jaylen Brown to be able to get a different kind of piece and get a veteran in here.
Yeah.
But when you look at it from the standpoint of the way those two teams in the East are built, with Tatum and Brown, it's, I know I got this, and I know I got, like, I know I got a stretch four or a three, and I got a guy who's a shooting guard that's a two. Like, when you look at the pieces, I understood what Danny Ainge was trying to do. Time Lord in the middle or Tristan Thompson in the middle.
Right.
You know you got Tatum. You know you got Brown. You had Kemba. And then it was, who is that other piece? You could go with a two guard. You can go with a three if you wanted to. In theory, you could put another stretch four on the floor if you wanted to.
Yeah, your two best guys are two wing players. So even though I've come around and I like Jaylen Brown more than Ben Simmons, would the Celtics actually be better if those two guys switched spots? If you had Ben Simmons with Jason Tatum?
I was thinking Embiid with Jason Tatum versus Simmons.
I mean, I would rather have that, but I'm just saying they're not going to trade Embiid.
No, you wouldn't think so. But like Simmons and Brown, because as we're playing the game, right?
Because I think
Simmons and Brown be able to play off each other to a point to where it can make Simmons a little better?
Because I think Simmons would want to get those other guys involved. Like if Tatum averaged 35, Simmons would be thrilled with that. Whereas if he averaged 35, Brown, I think, would be like, well, I better get 30.
You know, the other thing, too, is kind of the evolution of the point guard spot. Because I had a texter who's like, oh, double-digit assists for a point guard shouldn't be a big deal. But this isn't the 80s, 90s NBA with Stockton and Malone.
No, it's different.
Now you're, like, Nikola Jokic is what? Wasn't he top five in assists or close to it?
Yeah.
Right? And that's a big man. So, you know, now the big man
has the ball in their hands the most.
There you go. Yeah.
And so that changes for teams. I mean, there was a couple years ago, LeBron was up there in assists too. He's not.
Yeah. Well, LeBron's one of those guys who's like, all right, I'm going to prove a point and then go out and get like 7.5 assists per game or something like that. By the way, we have an anniversary today. I don't know if you know this or not.
Oh, who was that anniversary?
On June 17th, 1994, we flipped to CNN and West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Larry King. The white Bronco is loose in Los Angeles.
Police reports, again, we're telling you this is a police report from one of the police cars that OJ is in the passenger seat with a gun. The driver is apparently, although we don't know, Al Cowling, former teammate, one of his oldest friends. All of this is, again, reports we're getting from Los Angeles. You're watching CNN and our coverage of this ongoing, incredible story, which we have no reference point because there has never been a story like this.
So,
oh my God, I forgot. You're right. Today's the day.
So 27 years now, right? 1994?
27. So a great 30 for 30 just called June 17th, 1994. Highly recommend watching it. I remember as a little 10-year-old sitting down watching Rockets Knicks. It was Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, NBA Finals.
Yep.
I was all excited about it. Great matchup. I think it was game five, and then all of a sudden, we get a break-in for a car chase, and I'm like, what on earth is this? And then they were doing, like, the picture-in-picture, and then it was, like, just the car chase, and they're like, we're back to the NBA Finals, and Bob Costas is, like, head-spinning, and he's trying to figure it all out. That was one of those, you remember where you were. I remember my old house, sitting in the chair on the left side of the TV, sitting there watching it, ready, or, like, dying to see the game, and then getting Ford Bronco chase.
I remember it was, so it would have been in between my, like, sophomore and junior.
Right?
No, I was in college. I was on the phone with my boys, Nelson and Sherrod, like, hardlining it. And it was like one of those deals where we're like, what is this, right?
I know,
because I remember when OJ was found not guilty, my guy Sherrod and I, who, by the way, for those who are wondering, if you've seen the Craig Carton documentary, there's a guy in there named Sherrod Williams that's one of my best friends. So Rod and I played college. I think this was after he got back into school for the second time because he flunked out. But be that as it may, as soon as OJ was, he was like, oh my, he was running around the dorm yelling, the juice is loose. And then we jumped in my car and rode around campus with him sticking his head out the window yelling, the juice is loose. But that whole thing, like I remember that being with my teammates, like as soon as we got back into camp in August, that was like one of the first things everybody sat around and talked about.
Because I remember we watched that. I want to say I was in sixth grade by the time that, and they rolled the TVs in like they used to do. And they were like, let's listen to the verdict. And yet my teacher was not thrilled with what happened there.
But I remember that was a big, like, two-year window of the whole thing with OJ, right? It started with the Bronco.
It was every day. And we learned about all the characters
Johnny
involved,
Cochran and F.E. Bailey, all those guys,
all those
right?
guys. It was insane.
It's crazy. It's fascinating. First of all, it makes you feel really old.
Yes.
That, A, I remember being in college when that chase happened, let alone the next part of it, and, like, John wasn't even born.
No.
Wasn't alive. And I think Shime would have been an infant. Are you 94, Shime?
I would have been 2 years old.
Two years old. Do you remember
and
it
fondly? And you were 10?
I was 10 in 94.
And I was in, like, you just remember this stuff, and it's like, so oh my God.
What was crazy, too, about this documentary is that's what it's known for. And I think for me, it was NBA Finals, and it was the OJ chase. But the same day, the 94 World Cup going on, which was in the United States, you had Arnold Palmer playing his final round at the U.S. Open. The New York Rangers had their parade to celebrate winning the cup. You had Ken Griffey Jr. tying Babe Ruth's record for the most home runs before June 30th. So you had something from literally every sport that day on June 17th.
It's really amazing. And, yeah, it's one of those days to remember. And the at the Real OJ... I do believe it's at the Real OJ 32 on Twitter to
get his. Is he celebrating today?
Oh, hey, I don't know.
Yours truly.
But I don't know. Maybe there'll be a little bit of that. I've had some verdicts go against me. I still owe someone $32 million. I don't know how in the world he got around that. But anyway, so that's you're right. June 17th, a big day in sports history. And OJ was just a small piece of it. We get three T's coming up. Shime has been able to let it out in terms of the way he feels about the Madden cover. So hopefully we will have Chipper Cheery Shime for trending.
Like the show? Of course you do.
I hate this guy.
Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI. Have you been watching the show today?
At twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Been tweeting the show?
At Gresh Keefe on Twitter.
Texting the show?
At 37937.
Well, now it's time to read only the positive messages.
From Twitch, Twitter, and the text line.
On Gresh and Keefe.
It's our version of the three T's. You can watch this show on Twitch, weei.com/watch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, text 37937. Text at Gresh Keefe. Get Keith at Keith21. You can get me at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. Shime, what do you have today? Do you feel better, friend?
I feel great.
Good. Feel
energized today. From the 401, should be called the Boom Squad because Hightower is the key in reference to the new Patriots defense.
Oh, Pat's nickname? Boom Squad?
Boom Squad.
All right, let's put that one to the side. Again, they have to play well. Now, are they allowed to have a nickname prior to the Bucs game? Let's say they get out to a 3-0 start. Let's go best case scenario, 3-0 start. They allow maybe 3-4 total touchdowns in that span. Can you give them a nickname, even though there's a real chance that they could get smoked by the Bucs?
Yes. Okay. I would say, but now, before camp,
A little early.
You got to have nickname list and then see if you play well and then pick one
Boom
by
squad,
week 4.
Though.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's not bad.
Boom Squad.
I'm here for it. Yep. From the Twitch chat, Mahomes is not a GOAT. It took Brady years to earn that title, and Mahomes gets it after 3 seasons, 1 MVP, 1 Super Bowl. That's baloney.
Oh, boy.
I also, the GOAT thing, again, if you take what it actually means, it's greatest of all time. It's not one of the greatest of all time. So
there can only be one.
Right, and it's Brady. And I just feel like, at least in my lifetime, it's going to be very hard-pressed for anybody to pass Tom Brady. So... maybe if you want to do another position, sure. If you want to talk about the running back GOAT, okay, fine. I can open the door to that. Wide out GOAT.
And you're going to live forever. So
that's the plan.
Brady Wills. Brady, like, come on. It's ridiculous.
But, like, after 3 years.
Well,
I said
know what
four
it is.
Earlier. He's in the league for 4. He's only played 3 years.
GOAT has become bastardized.
And, oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's where you were going to cut that off.
That was fine. Yeah, we wanted to get to the next thing.
From the 401, here we go. Shime wants to get sympathy for 3T. Come on, man. Buck up, little buckaroo. It's not that bad. We all know Mahomes is not a goat. He's more of a lamb chop.
Lamb chop. Yeah, Shime had a little bit of a mad earlier.
I was frustrated.
He was running a little hot, but that's good. Good passion.
However,
like
he did predict it, and he said
he did nail
earlier
it.
This week that if it is Mahomes, his head's going to explode, and we're not spraying his brains
this
off.
This is a bunch of horse.
Yeah, it wasn't you with the snake guts, but
no, God, no.
Steam came out of
that.
The ears.
From the 603, I don't care if a baseball game is 4.5 hours long as it's exciting. It just blows when it's that long because pitchers take their sweet-ass time.
Dude, 4.5 hours, you don't mean that. That's outrageous.
No, that's ridiculous.
4.5 hours. Was this the Snyder cut of a baseball game?
Yep, exactly.
Right.
Unless it's a playoff NFL game. 4.5 hours. Yeah. Even watching the NFL would be tough.
Overtime playoff hockey.
Yeah, that's probably
okay,
where you're
there
at.
You go.
That's where you're
okay.
at. Because the second hour and a half, or the last 2 hours of that are just like you're waiting for the game to be over. So, yeah, you would need that.
I did a 6-overtime football game once.
No, I'm good.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that Syracuse? Was it Syracuse UConn or Syracuse? Who was it? When they went like 6 OTs?
I was Syracuse UConn, and now they changed the rules so that you're not just kicking PATs and stuff like that. But
no, I'm saying basketball.
Oh, basketball.
Syracuse basketball
yeah,
had that crazy game in the Big East.
I think that might have been the
it?
Big East championship game. Might have been. Close enough.
Jerry McNamara.
So,
of
course.
Obviously.
So I ran hot today, but I wasn't the only one who got loose. John got a little loose today in the Twitch chat, called David Ortiz a trumpet. How do we feel about calling someone
sick
a trumpet?
Of that dude.
A trumpet?
Yeah, he called him a trumpet.
Like the
instrument?
Like
it's an insult. Yes.
Is it related to Donald Trump at all? I feel like John's
I've been using trumpet since before that trumpet.
He also referred to someone last week as a spoon.
I referred to a bar in the Fenway area.
So,
a spoon?
For those who are uninitiated, what is your definition of trumpet and using it in that context?
It's just an insult. It's actually a British insult. British insults are funnier, except usually there's a bodily fluid in front of it with the instrument. However, I thought that might be over the line.
But probably.
I cut it in half.
Yeah, good job.
But people don't know British insults.
But like, is trumpet even like the worst instrument? I feel like a trumpet's not bad. I wouldn't be like,
It doesn't matter if it's a bad instrument.
Well, like a clarinet.
You're just calling him that.
Clarinet.
You oboe.
Should have called him an oboe. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
An oboe. Piccolo. This guy's
I'm so sick what a piccolo of this guy Twitch is. David Ortiz. That guy has been pissing me off this week. Twitter David Ortiz. Love him. Twitch
Again,
David Ortiz. Go to hell.
Two David Ortizes, and John now hates the Twitch David Ortiz.
I think I'm.
Yikes. Today he was telling me how to do my job today. That was the issue.
We might have a hosts only discussion on John's. Like he likes one, doesn't like the other one.
Yeah,
like could something be up there?
I think John doesn't need to be. He's
like,
got too much
knows,
going on back there. Now he's in the Twitch chat.
Like, he knows Twitter David Ortiz, but doesn't know Twitch David Ortiz.
No, he
Ortiz.
Likes one and doesn't like
well,
the
Twitch
other.
Twitch David know, Ortiz's but humor isn't funny, and now he's telling me how to do my
but
job.
But I'm one. Oh, now we got to it.
That's
now's
it.
The sense yeah. to telling him to do the job.
But I, feel
I
like,
thought it was you knew one and you didn't know the other one, and you're sticking up for your friend.
No.
That's the road I was going down.
It's easily avoidable, though, John. Just don't go in the Twitch chat.
I like going
Shime's
in the Twitch
the guy,
chat.
But Shime's the guy who can monitor that. He's the Twitch expert, and you can
I'm
just...
not monitoring it. I say hi to them in the morning, and I talk to them if they give me a little app.
Yeah, but Sean was like beating his head off the console earlier, so of
I
course
was not.
John would have to. You were really upset.
All right, I was mad, but I wasn't beating my head off anything. From the 401, OMG, shut the bleep up. Sox pitchers making good points. Pitchers need to grip the ball or it will be chaos in MLB. Tons more hit batters, parentheses, dangerous, close parentheses.
Danger.
The hitters have PEDs for decades and cheated versus pitchers. Shoes on the other foot now.
Stop.
Bleeping deal with it.
Stop. Pitchers also did steroids. So knock
Roger
it off
Clemens,
with that.
Andy Pettit.
Do you remember the list, that whole Mitchell report? They had like Tubbs, like Brendan Donnelly were like, we're on the sauce. So like, give me a break with that. And oh, they need to be able to.
Somebody else is having a mad there.
So nobody can throw the ball. So if I just give you a ball and you just kind of like, you know, scuff your hands on it for a second, that is unpitchable. You can't pitch with it.
Even Pedro Martinez said about the whole, hey, I like the baseballs prepared a certain way and
I'll
all that. So I think
I want them right.
That's right. So I think it's for some of these guys. By the way, I think Brendan Donnelly, teammate of Marloney at one point.
Probably.
With the Angels.
They probably crossed paths, I would imagine.
I think Donnelly was like a double A or triple A guy forever. And then all of a sudden he had like a 5-year run at the bigs. And you're like, what's going on? And there you go, Keith.
I think he played like at the National Pride, like the Independent
League.
Oh, he
did?
One point. I think so.
He Independent League did?
I think so.
Playing for Bill Murray. Somewhere
from the 413, did Gresh seriously say E.T. is a top 5 movie of all time? I honestly can't take anything this guy says seriously.
Yeah, I mean, a little high.
But when you think about it in the context of the pantheon of movies and just sort of the drawing power and like, I don't know.
It's made a ton of money.
And a lot of people also connect with that movies of a certain age. So if that guy's like maybe 10 or 12 years younger than me, I can kind of understand it. But I think you could, I mean, am I wrong in the biggest movie of the 80s was E.T.?
Oh, God. That's a whole nother debate. I don't know.
Roadhouse. Indiana Jones movies were all in the 80s, correct?
Not best, but like grossing, all that stuff. Yeah, the dossier shirt that was posted up behind Keith just fell for those watching on Twitch.
What happened
there? Yeah, it fell right down behind Shime. Yeah. Shime didn't know. But
I did
anyway,
get a copy of that, though.
Yeah, I mean that in the context of, like, when people think of all-time great movies, E.T. does come up.
Yeah, so E.T. was the highest grossing film of the 80s, just ahead of two Star Wars movies, Batman and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, because my guess is, like, Empire would be super high up there. But
Empire
no,
E.T.
was very impactful, but top five all-time.
Somebody from the 207 sent us their shopping list, and I think it's one Keith would approve of.
What do you got?
From the 207, 30 Bud Heavy, 60 Miller Lights, a case of Trulies, two Absolutes, and one Johnny Red. Probably should get a bottle of Hornitos also. I think that should do it.
That should do it. Where's that guy?
Sounds like a time.
Where's that guy going to be?
I don't know, but I want to be there.
Clearly there's going to be a couple of guests, I would imagine.
I would assume it would be more than one.
I like
that. Just
give
me that Johnny Red, and I'll be all set.
I'll take that Hornitos.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll take any. I'll take the case of Trulies. I'll take anything.
Yeah, all good.
Truly.
Someone from the Twitch chat suggested Shime and Lou get a podcast sponsored by blood pressure medication for when they freak out.
Yes.
John Anderson gets a podcast sponsored by toilet paper.
Depends.
So that's a good one. I can tell that didn't come from David or from Twitch or Cheese.
No,
it did not.
No, it did not.
Can confirm.
Somebody else.
Mr. J. Hanna on Twitter said, in all my years listening to the radio, I have never heard an audible stroke. Shime Time just ended that streak from the Pat Mahomes talk.
Yeah, he was running hot, but again, I think you like that. You like the passion.
Did you hear Gresh find out about the tennis racket challenge last week?
He actually had a stroke.
That was an audible stroke.
That was a Derek Connors stroke.
That was a stroke. Also.
That was a legitimate stroke.
That was a can't believe it stroke. This was a utter ridiculousness. It's a football hyperbole stroke you had.
People are also clamoring for Shime Rage music, John. Telling you how to do your job.
I think that's what the tuba is, right?
Yeah, that's sort of.
Oh, is that all-encompassing?
That's it.
Okay, there you go.
That paints the picture.
So we had a really funny slow burn today from the 774. Just spit my food all over the car. Still not a worse mess than what John made.
Wow.
Also good. Also pretty strong.
Probably true.
Also pretty strong.
Twitch or cheese. Twitch or cheese. Take notes on the last 5 minutes.
It also depends on what you're eating, too, right? If you're having a soft taco and you spit that out, that's going everywhere.
Problem.
Whereas
with
a burger, you might be able to control it a little bit.
You might be able to, yeah.
Maybe.
There's a couple of big pieces, depending on how well you chew your food, too.
Well, that is true, too.
Yeah. And boys,
your teeth are messed up.
That'll do it for T3 today.
That's it. Son. There we go. All right, then. Coming up, you got something to wrap this baby up next.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do.
Smacking guys in the old yam bag.
Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
Time for You Got Something. It is brought to you by Unified Office. If you run restaurants, you know that busy signals and placing customers on hold means lost revenue. Let Unified Office help you maximize sales at unifiedoffice.com. Well, I do got something.
You got something?
Congratulations to LaMelo Ball. I've rooted against the Ball family for a long time because, well, their dad is a noted jackass. And, of course, there's Lonzo Ball and then the other one that gets forgotten about. He'll be like the, you know, the lost Marx brother or whatever. But LaMelo Ball, legitimate winner of the 2021 NBA Rookie of the Year. I know that the folks in Minnesota are screaming for Anthony Edwards, but LaMelo Ball earned it. He deserved it. He was great this year. He'll probably want out in about 2 years. And did you see the video of the Jokic brothers almost running onto the court in Game 5 when Nikola Jokic got, I mean, first of all, the tats all over them made you think, oh, my God. Like,
look out.
Are these guys like mobsters or something?
Yeah.
What's the deal? By the way, they're all 7 feet tall, which is another weird thing,
pretty
too.
Pretty wild, yeah.
Security had to stop the Jokic brothers from running on the court when their brother got ejected. And now Nikola Jokic, after playing every game in 2020 and 2021, he's back in Serbia riding a horse-drawn buggy to begin his period of relaxation.
Makes sense.
A 7-footer on the back of a horse. Where's Rusty? Shime, what do you got?
Guys, so I've seen a lot of crazy warm-up rituals, warm-up practices before games in all different sports. But I think North Macedonia might take the cake. Their warm-up for today's game was tremendous. They were playing some kind of game where they were running up and down with balls in cones and throwing them to each other. I just retweeted it from the Gresh and Keefe account. Please go check it out. It's kind of hilarious. It has nothing to do with soccer, and that's what makes it funny.
You had me at balls and cones.
Is it like Stewie Griffin? Or the ball in the cup. You ball flip the ball up and catch it in the cup. Ball
yeah, and like that. So they like flip the ball up and the partner has to catch it in their cone after they've then flipped their ball up and like just had to.
Long ding dongs? Yeah. Sign me up.
It's kind of crazy. John, you got something.
I do. So check back in on the NHL expansion draft. We are just a.
This
just
is John's favorite topic, by the way. You notice this?
Well,
the NHL expansion
because
draft.
John has done the work, and he has a column up at WEEI.com. Right.
Well, so it's a little more than a month away, and I think Bruins fans, as well as Connor Clifton himself in his post-mortem press conference, seemed resigned to the fact that the Seattle Kraken would take Connor Clifton. The Athletics got a mock expansion draft up, and all three of their writers do not have the Kraken taking Connor Clifton. Two have them taking taking Jeremy Lazan.
Huh.
One's got them taking Jakob Zboril.
Zboril?
Zboril.
They're going to take Jakob Zboril.
Honestly, that's probably good for both teams because I think the Bruins' window may kind of shut from a depth standpoint if they don't have someone like Clifton as like their fifth defenseman on the third line. But just looking at the contracts, like so they would have Clifton under contract for 2 years, but then he's a UFA and he's 2 years older than the other two, whereas Lazan and Kampfer, one more year, but they're RFAs, which in the NHL, that's just more free years. So I don't know. Could happen. We're a month away, so we'll keep checking back on it. Rich, what do you got?
All right, so this is something we can get into more tomorrow because there's going to be a book coming out called Can't Knock the Hustle, Inside the Season of Protest, Pandemic, and Progress with the Brooklyn Nets, Superstars of Tomorrow. It's written by Matt Sullivan. Fox Sports put out an excerpt, and even the excerpt is actually quite long. But it sort of talks about the forming of that super team, which, according to this, Kyrie and Kevin Durant got together even before the All-Star break, where we all saw them in the hallway.
Really?
In Kyrie's home in Massachusetts before the Warriors played the Celtics. And they had made plans even then, also talking about when they were teammates in the Olympics 2016. The two of them and DeAndre Jordan all got together and had this discussion. But some really interesting stuff kind of on this in the psyche of both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, how both of them sort of got to this point. A lot of stuff that we kind of assumed was the thinking on, you know, why Durant would leave Golden State, why Kyrie would leave here, why they would decide to team up. But a pretty interesting little look in and pretty well sourced based on some of the information that this guy seemed to have. A lot of details in
this. We'll definitely peel that apart tomorrow because we can prove that Kyrie lying once again. Telling people whatever they needed to hear
correct.
To get out of the situation he was in at that point in time. By the way, you read it where I wrote it. We'll be up a little bit later on tonight on WEEI.com.
Oh, not on time again,
to check that out.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
If you
John wants his Thursdays back.
If you really want me to out the problem, I will, or I can tell you off the air.
Is it going to make me look bad?
It yes.
Okay.
Oh, so you want me to just shut up now, or okay? All right, very good.
I'd like to take a guess.
Young guy jumping in.
Papa, do not embarrass me on the radio, please.
No.
Shine's working
my young
on a new
Italian
character.
Boy
nah, he's working on a new character. It's no good.
I need my new Tallywackies.
No good.
It's a simple hang up. It'll be up a little bit later on tonight. So we'll have the story on Kyrie tomorrow. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of pitchers bitching, right?
Maybe the Bucks the game 7?
That's right. And
I say no. Kyrie is out, but the game's in Brooklyn. And oh no, I'm sorry, it's not. It's in Milwaukee. Yeah. But Harden's playing. I think he can't be worse than he was before. And Milwaukee, I just feel like is a choke artist.
I kind of agree. Feels like the Nets are going to find a way.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. And nothing locally. So there you go.
No,
I mean you know what that means. We're driving the bus right off the exit ramp tomorrow. Join us at 10 a.m. Shime and John produced it. And well, if anything went wrong, blame them. OMF next. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. for a big Friday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.